3 nights in the belly of the whale, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, you say, maybe they counted a part of a day. Yes, I'm. Abraham Lincoln one time asked a man who kept figuring on something that wasn't right, and they, well, they counted so-and-so. So Abraham Lincoln said to the man, if you count a dog's tail, a leg, how many legs does he have? Well, the man says he has 5. No, because Abraham Lincoln says, no matter what you counted, a tail isn't a leg. He still just got 4 legs. You see that? And so, suppose you want to count it and say the tag end of Friday will count that a day. And then
they got the Boulder Dam, or whoever did this or that and the other, or who won this war. But anybody won one soul to Christ is going to be famous for billions of years. See? That there's kind of a return on the investment for soul winning that you can't have in anything else. You build a house. If you build a house out of frame, wood, well, maybe 50 years. My house is 70 years old. It's had to be remodeled a time or two. 70, 80 years old, maybe. Had to be remodeled a time or two. And if you build a house out of brick, it may last, 75 or 100 years. And build it out of masonry, it may go up to a couple of hundred years, but it'll get awful old-fashioned in that time. And so on. I saw yesterday a beautiful log house. A beautiful log house, but it's getting pretty well out of date now. I'm just saying, anything else you put your time to gets out of date. But when you win a soul to Christ, brother, you've done the one thing that's going to last forever. You've done the one thing that's forever. So here the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Did you notice it's not an ordinary tree? It's not a natural tree, not a peach tree, a Georgia peach tree. Peaches are very good, but peach trees have a short life. You know that? Apple trees live a little longer, but even an apple tree gets old and bushy, and after a while doesn't do too well, you see, and other trees. But in the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life. And in the heavenly Jerusalem, on either side of the river of life, will be the trees of life. And their leaves are for the healing of the nations, and they bear 12 manner of fruit. And one that wins souls, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life that just goes on and on and on and on. And 10 billion years will go by in heaven, and you find the tree has still got the fruit, you know. And still, you'll be going around finding out the wonderful blessing. I walked in the other day, day before yesterday, to my brother Bill's conference ground out near Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I met this tall, lanky man from Wyoming, dark eyes and hair, who'd found Christ in Korea. I didn't know it. You know, life's a good deal better.
What?
All the abuse that goes on a man preaches plainly as I do, and makes a fight against modernism and sin as I do. And so I feel a good deal of comfort and joy when I get some encouragement. Somebody said, I found Christ. I was saved through your ministry. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to go all over heaven and somebody stop you on every corner and say, I remember the time you was down a certain place and preached and I found Christ. Or I said, you remember that day you talked to me and I was saved? Well, so all that winning souls is wise. It's the wisest thing anybody ever did. Now, suppose this morning I talked to you a little on this subject about soul winning, putting soul winning first. Putting soul winning first. Then I'll talk about the motivation for soul winning and the reasons for soul winning, and then a little bit, if I get time, about how to put soul winning first. Now, what are the motives that ought to cause a Christian to put soul winning first? Well, I'd say, first of all, because the Bible puts it first. There's no doubt in the world about that. In the Bible, soul winning is the main thing. That's illustrated in the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In the Bible it said that God pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And in the Bible, the Scripture said, go ye into all the world. And he said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And he said it in Acts 1st chapter, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria, and so on. In the church at Jerusalem, that Spirit-filled church after Pentecost, the Scripture says, and that they continued daily in the temple and from house to house. And what's that now? daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And we find that's what Jesus came for, and that's what God sent His Son in the world to die for. According to the Bible, soul winning is the most wonderful thing, the wisest thing you can do. It's first in the Bible. That's what the Bible is written for. These things are written that you, to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. That's what the Bible is written for, to get people saved, show them how to be saved, and so they will be saved. That's what Jesus came for. That's what's dearest to God's heart. Up in heaven, that's what they rejoice about. That I send you, Jesus said in Luke 15:7, there's more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. All right, then, I'd say that it's quite clear, according to the Bible, soul winning's first. According to the Bible, soul winning's first. You might have got some modern idea that God called you to teach but not to win souls, but you didn't get that from the Bible. You got that in Bible school or seminary or college, or you got that from hearing some backslider talk, but you didn't get that from the Bible. You understand, maybe God wants you to be a Bible teacher, but He wants you to be a soul-winning Bible teacher using the Bible for soul-winning. This idea of having some teachers that teach the Bible without any reference to changing it about it, that's hooey, that's tomfoolery, that's not taught in the Bible. So, the Bible, you see, you say teach the Bible, yes, you say, but I'm called to be a pastor. Well, if so, you're called to be a pastor as a soul winner, and oh, what a wonderful chance a pastor has to train soul winners. I remember when I was pastor in Dallas, Texas, and I wasn't a very good pastor, because with daily radio broadcasts and gone half the time in revivals, I wasn't a very good pastor. But you know, by God's grace, we grew a great number of soul winners. We grew a great number of soul winners. And in one six-month period, from June 25th, 1933, till December 25th, Christmas Day in 1933, we set out to win 1,000 souls to Christ in that church and through the work of the church. And in the services, and in revival, and big Sunday afternoon services down the park, and visiting in the TB hospital, and so in street services, and house to house. And in that 6 month period of time, we had a record of 1,005 people who claimed Christ as Savior in that 6 month time. So if you call to be a pastor, that don't mean that you just spend all your time on the latest missionary society and visiting good sister so-and-so who's sick, and her husband's the chairman of the board, you know, and liberal giver, and I got to go to see her. So, no, no. According to the Bible, the reason for a preacher is to win souls. A reason for a church is to win souls. You know that? Reason for a missionary is to win souls. The reason for a Sunday school is to win souls. All right, according to the Bible, then, a soul winning ought to be first. Now, let's see. Some other reasons for soul winning. The motivation for soul winning. We ought to win souls because that's dearest to the Lord Jesus' heart. Listen, the Lord Jesus died to save sinners. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Wait a minute, Lord. If you had to write it over, would you put John 3:16 in the Bible? And He answers back, yes, I still so love the world. I'd still give my Son. Well, Jesus, would you come if you knew there's going to spit in your face and pluck out your beard and beat you with a Roman scourge and nail you naked to a cross to die? Would you come? And if you knew God the Father would turn His face away from you and let you die like a criminal and a sinner, would you come? And Jesus said, yes, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I never change. I still love sinners. If God had to write John 3:16 again, He'd write it exactly the same way, because He loves just as much now and just as much concern to save sinners. I'd say, for Jesus' sake then, because it's taught, the Bible puts it first, and because Jesus puts it first, everybody ought to win souls. You know, the dear heart of the Lord Jesus. We say there's more joy in the presence of the angels. And, of course, I think about my dear mother who gave me to God when I was born and asked God to make me a preacher. She's up there. And I think about D.L. Moody. He's there. And I think of so many other saints that were concerned about soul winning. Yeah, they'd all be interested, all right. But the thing we better remember is, according to the Word of God, is that the Lord Jesus is there, and He's the one that rejoices the most when a soul is saved. Isn't that what He said when He in Luke 15 about the story of the shepherd had one lost sheep, and he goes out and seeks for it until he finds it and lays it on his shoulders and brings it home rejoicing and calls his friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me!" Who's that represent? That's the Lord Jesus. That's the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, Brother Raker, if you ever see somebody saved and your heart just runs over with joy, well, you can say, "Jesus, I feel just alike about this. He's rejoicing too." Yes, sir. And so the great reason, I think the greatest of all the reasons when you come down to a heart motivation for soul winning is that you're concerned because Jesus is concerned. And so you love sinners. You heard the story, didn't you, about the missionaries going to China? And worldly-minded person said, "You mean you're going all the way, you give up home and your mother and your dad and your friends and maybe any chance to get married and have a home, and you're going to China?" "Yes." "Well," this friend says, "you sure must love the Chinese people a lot." And she said, "Well, I don't know. I guess I do, but I never saw a Chinese. I don't know. I just love the Lord Jesus, and he loves them, and I love them for Jesus' sake." And she wasn't going because she'd been with the Chinese and learned to like them so well, and she'd rather be with them than with Americans. No, that wasn't the point. She was going because the Lord Jesus loved sinners, and she loved them for Jesus' sake, and she was going. Let me tell you, the big reason for soul winning is because it makes Jesus happy, and it's what he wanted. You know, there's a wonderful thing. Did you think when Jesus died on the cross, that's the end of the story? Well, a lot of people that don't believe in the pre-millennial coming of Jesus, that's kind of the end of the thing. Oh, you say Jesus King, but you mean only in some figurative sense. You don't know half of it. Brother, Jesus is coming back, and Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. He's coming back to sit on David's throne. He's coming back, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's not going to end with a poor, drab figure with blood matted on his face and beer spittle in his beard and stripped naked and that poor gaunt body left on the cross. God turned his back and let him die. You think that's going to be the end of it? No, no. Blessed be God. You wait. Over in Isaiah 53, when the scripture talks about Jesus and with his stripes we're healed and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then the scripture says, "And he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." He'll see and be satisfied. It's like a young mother, you know, and when the child's born, oh, a good deal of pain, some 9 months of discomfort and then some pain and all that kind of thing. But she thinks, "But I've got a boy now. I've got a baby now." And she's glad. And so the Lord said, "Never mind. I'll see the time and I'll rejoice." And then over in Hebrews 12, the scripture says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame, and is set down the right hand of the Father on high." The Lord Jesus said, "Go ahead, spit in my face." The Lord Jesus said, "Go ahead, beat me, cut to the bone, the blood runs down my back, and go ahead, mock, and go ahead and strip me naked and nail me to a cross and let me die." But Jesus said, "You just wait. When they come from the north, east, and south, and west with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to sit down the kingdom of God, when Paul comes and, as he said, to present certain people blameless before him at his coming as a chaste virgin presented to Christ," the Lord Jesus said, "That's going to be plenty good. I'm willing to suffer it," he said, "for that." So the Lord Jesus has got a good time coming when he sees all those he's bought with his precious blood. I've indicated that a little in that song, "The Price of Revival." The Savior will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied fully for those he's redeemed. Compared to that suffering, he scorned all his suffering to be paid at the reaping up there. The Lord Jesus is going to be repaid. So wouldn't you like to make it a good homecoming or a good anniversary? Wouldn't you like to sing "Happy Birthday, Dear Jesus," or whatever you want to sing to illustrate it when they come in and the Lord sits at the head of the table and the wedding feast takes place and all the uncounted multitude comes in
and every place is filled. The Lord Jesus, with beaming face and rejoicing heart, sees those that He purchased. And He comes in and says, I and the children that the Lord my God hath given me. And He's not ashamed to call us brethren, and He calls us His younger brothers and sisters in Jesus. Listen, for Jesus' sake, we ought to win souls. Anybody here, if you want to have part in happiness, you send a care package over yonder. You want to have part in blessing, you buy somebody insurance policy. No, no. Oh, no, listen. If you want to have part in eternal joy and happiness, you make the Lord Jesus happy by getting somebody saved. All right, for Jesus' sake. But wait a minute. For a lost sinner's sake is another reason to win souls. You know, the Lord wants us to have compassion on sinners. The Lord Jesus wants us to, over in Jude? He said, some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Do you have any compassion? Do you have any concern? I wonder, does it bother you that somebody dies and goes to hell? Does it bother you that somebody you know and love, and somebody maybe you work under the same roof with them, somebody lives next door to you, they're going to die and go to hell? I remember in Wheaton, right across the street from us, a man and his wife, well, they didn't get along too well. He was so busy, for one thing, and she got to running with another man. And one day, he went into Chicago and found them in a hotel room, his wife and another man. And one of them at least, maybe both, had no clothes on. And he shot the other man and killed him. They lived right across the street from me. And my heart, oh, I just ache for those poor, sad people. Oh, what if your home was gone, your wife had betrayed you, and you killed another man as you thought deservingly, but there's a blot on your life and your home's all ruined and so on. That's bad, isn't it? Listen, what is that beside 10 minutes in the fires of eternal hell? What is that beside being a wandering star wandering in darkness forever? What is that besides being in the lake of fire and pleading for a drop of water to cool your tongue? What is that besides the knowing of the conscience that said you had your chance and you let everybody wrong and others come into hell too? Let me tell you, you won't do anybody any good. You get them saved. Somebody said, well, if I could give a boy an education. Well, that might be good. I've spent some money educating boys and girls, but that's not the main thing. He said, well, if I get a fellow a job. Or you say, if I get some money to somebody so they'd have food. You know, but that doesn't specially matter. What really matters, when you keep people out of hell and get the sins forgiven, in the first place, there's a peace that comes now. There's a present day blessing. I remember a Catholic man came to my home one night. He'd tried to kill himself that morning. He came to my home in Dallas, Texas. He and the poor harlot woman that saved his life and called the ambulance and turned out the gas fire and opened the windows and so on and saved his life. They came to my home, and I was sick in bed. I had them come back to the bedroom and knelt down by my bed, and I put my hands on the head and prayed. Then I opened the Bible and showed them how to trust the Lord. And this man, wife had already quit him, already lost his job, was in depression times, and already children have nothing to do with him. And this man, then the doctor told him he had an incurable disease, so he tried to kill himself. But that night, he found peace and he sat there in a chair while I talked to this woman. And after a while, he said, Brother Rice, isn't this strange? I said, what? He said, this morning I didn't think I could stand to live an hour. I had to get away some way. Tried to kill myself. He said, you know, all that's gone. I don't have a friend. I'm just as peaceful and quiet and not any bother at all. And everything seems right with God and people, and I don't have a friend. Isn't that strange? I said, no, that isn't strange. I've seen thousands of others find the same peace in Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you want to do anything for the happiness of people, you get them at peace with God. That's it. You want to fix their home, fix their habit, fix their work, fix their children, you get them saved. It's the main thing. That's first. And then you think of the eternal joy, too. And may I consider also, you want to win souls? Compassion? Yes. Paul never got away from it. Oh, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my kinsmen. But for your own sake, listen to me. If you want to come out good, it's wise to win souls. You know that? It pays to win souls. There's several ways. In several ways it pays. In the first place, if you want to be close to God and feel God's presence all the time, you want to have the Lord very near, the way to do that is to win souls. The Bible says that a branch that bringeth forth fruit, he purgeth it, that may bring forth more fruit. You know, Brother Raker, I found that sometimes I deal with people about tobacco. It's hard to get people to quit tobacco. I mean, it's hard for them to do it when they want to. But, Brother Raker, the best motive in the world, if you get a fellow just dying to win souls, and some way he has special help about tobacco or anything else you need. Did you know that? You get burdened enough about soul winning, and some way God just fixes everything. The branch that bears fruit, he purges it. You know that? It's easier to quit the movies or to quit something else if you're winning souls, and because God's on that side. You know, back in the Old Testament, the Lord said, the children of Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, the land I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, when you go and you besiege these great cities and break down their walls and so on, now he said, take care. You go to make a battering ram, don't cut down an apple tree. Don't cut down any kind of a fruit tree. Watch, he said, not a nut tree, not walnut tree, or not any kind of a fruit tree. You cut other kind of trees, but don't cut down a fruit tree in your battle. God's concerned about fruit trees. I'm sure glad about that. That means that God's concerned about soul winners, the spiritual fruit trees. That's the lesson for us, you know. God, you think God's more concerned about a peach tree? No, he's more concerned about a preacher, about a soul winner. And so, thank God he's going to protect you. You know, I've found this in revival campaigns all over America. I preach hard and plain, and a good many people get mad. They do through the sword of the Lord, too. And you know, a good number of times, I was just about ready to get run out of town, when suddenly, that deacon that was so mad and raised such cane, his wild, drunken boy got saved and busted the whole thing up. Or suddenly, right in the middle of the thing when they're just ready, then the whole thing busts open. I remember at Woodbine, Texas, when they were so mad at me, and there's only one home in the whole community that even invite us for a meal or spend the night, and they didn't have a hotel. And one night the thing busted open. We had 15 people saved. And then the next day, everybody in town is inviting me out for dinner. You know, the Lord takes the part of the soul winner. Did you know that? If you want help, all right. Let me tell you another thing. If you want the blessed Holy Spirit, sweet assurance, you know how to be filled with the Spirit. That's for soul winning. Somebody said, I wish I could be filled with the Spirit so I'd just feel light as a feather and hear angel wings flapping and see a great light shining around me and say, glory to God. No, no. No, listen. If you want the joy of the Lord, God isn't interested in how you feel so much. He just wants soul saved. But if you help him get soul saved, he'll give you part of his joy on that. You see? I'll tell you. Blessed be God. You know, I've... Will you excuse a little boasting in the Lord? You see, I'm a busy man. Most people have no idea how hard I work, how often I preach, all the editorial work. And yet, you go back, look on that book table, the books I've written, and you'll find out two things. One is, I have really dug in the Bible. I have written comments on every chapter in the Bible and on every principal verse in the Bible. I've really worked at that. And you'll find another thing in this. There's a supernatural part in some strange and wonderful way. God's opened up the book to me. That's not smartness. I don't spend as much time as some. I have no time to, like some of these good men, to spend weeks in libraries digging. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm working 9 hours a day in the office most of the time when I'm at home. Yet some strange and wonderful way, God opens up the book and it reveals its secrets. And I said to my wife, son, the last Sunday, closed up the home and three new sermons and so on. And I said, well, blessed be God. I don't see how, but some way. God always gives me new and fresh and sweet, and the Bible just opens up. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. For one thing, I'm after what God's after. And my heart's tuned up on this matter of soul winning. That opens up the book. Did you know that? You can understand what God's talking about if you get a passion for souls like God has. You know that? God reveals His Word to people who have a burden for souls and seek it. All right, so, or you want to be happy? That's good. Let me tell you another thing. For your own sake, the gratitude of Christians. The gratitude of Christians. Like that fellow from Wyoming I met on last Saturday, told me saved in Korea. Gratitude of Christians. I was down to Dumas on the first 4 days in June. I was Dumas, Texas, in revival services, in a big conference, and a woman came by, and, oh, Brother Rice, she said, I've been wanting to see you so long. Said, you remember when you were in Canyon, Texas, and my two boys were saved? And she just stood and cried. Why, that was, let's see, that must have been in 1921, I guess. Well, my goodness, that's 37 years ago. And that woman crying to see me and thanking God for me. See? Someone else said, you remember you preached in Spearman? I saved then. You know, it was good to go back down and just somebody coming around all the time. I'd won to Christ in a certain place. Well, I'm just saying, if you, the gratitude of Christians that you win, brother, you're going to have some friends. I have some enemies. I'm sorry. I wish everybody loved me. I wish everybody's as red hot to defend the Bible as I'm trying to be. I wish everybody's as red hot for just follow to the letter and do what God said. Don't cut any corners to get prestige. Don't cut any corners to get money. Don't cut any corners to please the crowd. I said, I wish everybody was. I have some enemies. But bless God, I got some friends too. I got some people. Because, you know, you go out and win souls and the Lord will help you. Brother Jack Hiles said an interesting thing the other day. He said, some of you fellows are pastor in the church and said you got a little majority against you and they're pulling against you. You don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. You just get out here and take your foot and your fist and go from house to house and get people in and get enough saved and get them baptized, and won't be but a few weeks and you'll have majority. Yeah, that's not a joke either. I'll tell you right now. Brother, you get enough people saved, you'll have some people on your side. That's right. The big way to win is not just arguing and fighting. The big way to win, you get enough people saved and with crying and praying, preaching the gospel and going after people and working day and night. That's right. All right, let's see. And then in heaven. In Daniel 12, 2 and 3, the scripture says, and many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall go through and find a lot of scriptures on soul winning and what God promises in soul winning. And boy, I'd pat myself on the back and said, I'm going to earn that blessing myself. You see? The scriptures. If you let the scriptures make you into a soul winner, you see, that's the kind that'll stick. All right, and how am I going to be a soul winner? Then I'd search out of my heart. I'd find whatever may hinder my prayers. Because soul winning's going to have to be largely a matter of prayer. Work? Oh, yes. But God working with you. So that means a lot of praying. How'll you do it? Well, I'd say, first of all, I'd make sure there's nothing between me and God. I'd check very carefully to see there's nothing that offends or that keeps His power from me. And day by day, I'd ask Him for cleansing and ask Him for power. And I'd confess to Him a weakness. I'd beg Him to help me. Another thing, I'd set out to pray definitely. You know, soul winning has to be definite. This general shooting doesn't get anybody, but it's pinpoint shooting, you know. Someone said about the Roman soldier that the Roman army shortened their sword and lengthened their empire. Had too long a sword. Fellow stand out, try to get 6 feet away and kill somebody with a sword. Oop. Oh, you go get a short sword that long. You got to get up where you grab a fellow by the beard to stick your sword into him. You're going to have to get close to people to win souls, and you're going to have to be definite about it. Say, Lord, save somebody. No, not somebody. Till the Lord ever wins somebody. No, not just somebody. It's all right, pray God to help you find which one. But you better get concern and passion and burden for a particular one. See that? Then you better make particular plans. Then say, Lord, save somebody sometime. I remember a woman stood up in a meeting, and she said, I want all of you to pray for my husband. She said, I've been praying for him 30 years, and he's unsaved. Pray for my husband. She sat down. I said, wait a minute. I said, how long you say you've been praying for your husband? She said, I want you to pray for him. You'll be saved before it's too late, she said. And I said, she said, 30 years. And I said, you better get down in earnest, or your husband's going to hell. It's already too late for most of his opportunities concerned. You better be saying, oh, God, save my husband today, and you better go talk to him, cry and pray about it, get this thing settled now. This sometime isn't the way it gets settled. You know that? That's not the way when a sinner wants to be saved, I'll do it tomorrow or when it's convenient. That's not the way you win souls either, when it's convenient, when it's easy. You better go now. You know, if right now, if by some disaster, if this roof caved in, we'll say, it's a beautiful steel and wooden. Or if there's a great hurricane tore it up, say any kind of disaster happened here. Or if some way there's a leakage of gas and a great explosion. You suppose if some of us went tearing out of here, suppose I tried to get somebody out, we'd hurry out these doors, and if you bumped into somebody stopping to pick up his tape recorder or so on, would you stop and say, oh, I'm so sorry? Well, you'd think, well, that crazy nut, he knows I'm sorry, but we got to save our lives out of here. Wouldn't you think so? If you're in a building, it burns down, and the firemen come. You think they take time to, well, let's get a pass key now and go around. No, break in the windows, put the ladder through, get in there. But you say, good night, that glass cost me $1.50. You know, but the whole building's worth more than the glass, isn't it? See that? If you're trying to keep somebody out of hell, did you know you can afford to just have a little bit? Don't be too much concerned about whether it's convenient for everybody or not, you know. If you're really dead set on keeping people out of hell, and they get the idea about that, it won't matter about other things too much. You know that? So let's get definite about it. Well, why don't you today, Friday, one week here at Lake Louise, a lot of people took this booklet, What Must to Do to Be Saved, and some went downtown and went to the bus station, and they spent the time talking. Everybody came and went in the bus station. Everybody got on a bus, everybody got off, and they'd give them this booklet here and talk to them about the soul. They had, Ms. Rice, I think you had three women saved, wasn't it, that afternoon? And other people, one man went out here in the food stand, one fellow to Christ, the first one he ever won to Christ. He took this booklet out here. First he started talking to the fellow, and his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth. He didn't know what to say. And so went back, said, wait a minute, went back to the car and read this through, these 24 little pages, read through to that man, and the man was saved. That was the year when Watson gave up his radio station and turned out to be a missionary, and I was in Seoul, Korea. I mean, Incheon, Korea. All right, I'm just saying, why don't you make some definite plans? Why don't you say, Lord, help me? That's the reason why, that if people that want to win souls, they win them today and not someday. You see that? You win them now. Why don't somebody say, all right, Lord, show me. Who ought I to write to today? I'll write a letter, and I'll send that booklet. I'll tell them to read it, and I'm going to ask them then, report to me in 2 days whether you trust Christ. I'm so anxious about it. I'll be praying for you now every day until I hear from you. Why don't somebody get it definite like that? You see? And here's another thing. Winning souls is largely on the quantity. Let me ask you a question. Here's one fellow that in his backyard, he's got a little corn patch. So he's got a grocery garden, a vegetable garden. And he plants 4 rows of corn. See? Here's another fellow out here. He's got 60 acres that he puts in corn. And he plants, it takes several bushels of seed to make 60 acres, wouldn't it? Okay. Now, one fella got a little package from a seed store and planted 4 rows of corn back here, 50 yards long. Another fella planted 60 acres of corn and put in, I don't know, 8 or 10 bushel of it. Maybe more. All right. Now, who you suppose made the most corn? Who do you think? Fella planted the most, didn't he? Oh, not every corn he planted, grain planted came up. Crow got some of it. Cutworm got some of it. See? One end of the field, too much water flooded in there and it drowned out. See? Didn't all make, but the fellow plants more corn, gets more corn. You know that? You know that? Yeah. All right, so the fellow that talks to the most folks, if his heart's burdened, and if God's with him, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit leads him, the fellow that talks to the most folks gets the most people saved. You know that? Yeah. You want to win souls? Why don't you get out here and work at it? Go after sinners. That's what it takes. Why don't you get out here and go after people and get them saved? All right, let's put soul winning first. Now, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd sit out and pray every day at this conference. In the meantime, I'd be making plans. Now, can I start a Sunday school class and get out here and rake in a lot of lost people and get them saved? Or shall I have a child evangelism class at my home after certain periods every day? And the school time starts, I have to put it after the school period. Or should I go down here to the jail and make two trips a week to the jail and go to see the folks and maybe take them some donuts, maybe take them something to read, but be sure to talk about the Lord and show them how to be saved and pray with everybody about his problems. Here's a man's wife quit him. Here's a fellow's family at home, nothing to eat because he's in jail, he got drunk. All right. But once you pick out ways to do it, there are ways to do it. A fellow is trying to make money. Well, he'd figure out ways to do it, wouldn't he? The fellows that make the money do the figuring. Do you know that? Yeah. If he's trying to sell insurance, you wouldn't just sit in the office and pray, oh, I hope they just come in here today. Lord, send them in to buy insurance. No, he'd get out trying to make the contacts, following up his leads. See? Why don't you work at it? Oh, let's put soul winning first. And remember that great text, Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. You learn it now. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let's say it together, will you? Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Real wise, aren't they? Real wise. Dear Lord, teach us now. With the heads bowed just a moment. I wonder if there are not some vows you ought to make about somebody you're going to see, somebody you're going to write a letter to today. If I'll give you this booklet, will you send it to somebody today and say, I want you to read this booklet by Brother Rice, and there's a decision form, page 23. If you can mean it, I want you to sign it, but I want you to tell me right away what you do about it. Will you sign that and mean it? Or maybe that's it. Or maybe you ought to be making some plans about a long-distance call. You ought to talk today to some lost person and say, I got burdened about you. I want you to know I'm praying. I want you to be saved. Maybe you ought to say, can you come down here and be in the service tonight here, Brother Lee Robertson and Brother Rice, or tomorrow, or maybe on the 4th of July. All right, whatever you can do. But God will show you. God will show you. I would have heads all bowed. How many now are thinking about somebody that you ought to win? And you're now making God some promises about how you're going at it and what you're going to do about it. Let's see your hand, will you, just a moment. All right. All right, thank you. Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm going to say, Brother Rice, God helping me, I'm going to try to win somebody to Christ within the next 7 days. This is Monday morning. By this time next Monday morning, by God's grace, I hope to have somebody saved. I'm going to try to do it by that time. Let's see your hand. Hold your hand high. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, help us to do it in Jesus' name.